Return to your seats. Thank you very much. Thank you. Good evening and welcome to this meeting of Stafford Borough Council's Planning Committee. My name is Brendan McKeown and I will be chairing this meeting. A couple of points before we start. If you have a mobile phone, please switch it off and make it silent. And can I ask members of the public to refrain from commenting during the course of the meeting. If you do get out of order, you may be asked to leave. On my right, I have officers from the Planning Department, and on my left, I have officers from Law and Governance. Officers from the Planning Department will present each application separately as it appears on the agenda. Members of the public who have indicated they wish to speak will be given 3 minutes, and I'll let them know when they've used up two of them. Ward members are entitled to speak for up to 5 minutes. An audio recording is being taken of this meeting, which shall be published on the Council's website. Members of the committee are reminded that they do not enjoy any immunity as that enjoyed by our colleagues in Parliament. Members may only deal with planning applications before them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the local plan, together with any other relevant planning matters. And so we move to the agenda. Minutes of the
8th of July.
8th of July, thank you. Everyone happy for those of you signed? Thank you, I'll do those afterwards. And apologies and substitutions.
Yes, Chairman. Apologies received from Councillor Peter Edgler, who is substituted tonight by Councillor Louise Nixon. Councillor A.D. Hobbs, who is substituted tonight by Councillor Julian Thorley. And Councillor Jill Hood, who is substituted by Councillor Ian Fordham.
Okay. Declarations of members' interests or lobbying. Scott, Severn Trent?
Indeed, yeah, I work for Severn Trent, but I have no bearing on their planning matters or decisions.
Thank you. Do we ask another call, please?
Councillor James as well.
Sorry, Councillor Roy James.
Whether it matters or not is the our landlord is Holmes Cast.
Okay, well, thank you.
Which application's in relation to that?
Sorry, say again.
Which application is that in relation to?
It's the second one.
Okay. Okay. We'll do this one. Delegated applications.
I've been on the website.
Thank you. And planning application, page 3. Before we start, I believe Councillor McNaughton and McNaughton, you may wish to leave the table because you have indicated a view on the first application. Anyone else?
No. Nope. Been no indications.
Okay, good. Right, so we go to page 3-4 now, and application number 22. Row 35776, land adjacent Swinburne Close, Highfields, called in by Councillor Doug Roxall. And Tom, you're going to deal with this one?
Thank you, Chair. Yes. Okay, so we've got a few updates before we sort of go through the presentation. The first one is an additional comment from the Conservation Officer raising no objections to the scheme. We've also received some updated comments from the local flood authority today, who've confirmed that in relation to a sports pitch, which is an all-weather sports pitch, which is being constructed in this location here in King Edward VI High School, they don't feel that the construction of that all weather pitch will impact on drainage in the area, as this pitch has got its own drainage system. In addition, it's not considered that the housing development will impact on that pitch itself. They're also satisfied that any potential post-development runoff to properties in Rowley Hall Drive can be addressed through the existing land drain on the site connecting into the new proposed drainage system, which is to be secured through Condition 8, as set out in the report. finally, in relation to the maintenance of the underground attenuation tanks, which are positioned underneath the car park for the care home and under the driveways for certain properties within the residential scheme, they're satisfied that as the housing association will be the developer who will be providing the development, they will have be able to maintain these tanks, and the section 106 legal agreement, if members consider it's appropriate to approve the application, will enable these properties to be retained as such. Yeah, and also we've got one final update, which is the council has also received a nomination to list the site as an asset of community value, and the council has until the 7th of September to determine this application. Just for information, the land is actually in private ownership, owned by the county council, with the only point of public access through a gap in the hedge from Rowley Park car park. And then there's just a couple of corrections on the actual committee report. The first one is a typo in condition 8, which should refer to 33 rather than 35 spaces. So that is on page 40 of the report. That's conditions 8 and 25.
And the change, please,
that the parking spaces should be 33 rather than 35 spaces.
Okay.
For conditions 8 and 25. That's, if you go to the actual report itself in paragraphs 8.6 and 8.7, it's specified there as it's 33. So it's essentially a typo when it was transferred from the computer system.
Okay, thank you.
And then there's one final discrepancy in the report. If we go to the end of the report on page 37, so after the recommendation near the top of the page, so it says there approved subject to the following conditions, and then there's a or refused due to the following reasons. So that latter part of the sentence is a typo, so it should just read approved subject to the following conditions. The formal recommendation is actually set out on page 4, if you look up page 4 of the committee report, it's there, that sets out how it's approved subject to conditions and also the planning obligation that's required to secure mitigation measures towards the Cannock Chase SAC, and also to ensure that the scheme is important for the units.
Thank you, Tom. We now have an objector who wishes to speak against this application.
Sorry.
Wind back. Okay, go.
Okay, thanks, Brad. Right, okay, so this application site sits undeveloped land which lies between King Edward VI High School here, Swinbourne Close, which is accessed off West Way, which runs through Highfields. Then we've got Lovelace Close, the south of the site, with the former, I think it was a Scout Hut and Church Hall, located in this area here. And then we have Rowley Hall Drive, residential developments on this side of the site. And if I just move on to the next slide, you can also see the relationship with Rowley Park. So there's the main sports stadium. Then the overflow car park is here, with a rough track leading up to the northern end of the site. So this is the only point of entry into the site, which I can show you on the slide. If I just scroll through these, there you go. So that's the existing entry point into the site from Rowley Park. As you see, it sits a gap in the hedgerow. Right, yep. So this is a photograph of the site, of the Swinbourne Close entrance off West Way, with this block of flats here to be demolished to provide access through Swinbourne close into the application site itself. And then this is another photograph taken from the other side, this is from Lovelace close to the south, which shows the former community buildings here. And then if we revert back to the other side of the site, I'll go back to the, so as I previously mentioned, Rowley Hall Drive is on this side of the site, so we have got some images taken from Rowley Hall Drive. So the site is essentially sitting up here, so there's a fence boundary that's in this area here, and then this is another photograph taken from Rowley Hall Drive towards the site, which is the other side of this fence. Okay, so in terms of the site itself, as I said, it's undeveloped, and this is an image which shows the site looking towards Swinbourne Close, which lies behind this extensive tree belt. With a further, this slide again, this is looking south across the site, so you've got Lovelace Close, and I think that's the outline of the community buildings. So as you can see here, there's quite a large bund at the southern end of the site. I'll come back to that in a minute when we talk about the retaining walls that are proposed. And then this is looking across the site towards the western boundary with the high school and its playing pitches, but beyond the tree belt. And then this is an image looking down the site with houses in Rowley Hall Drive positioned here. And then as we move further down the site, this is an image taken from the other side of the fence. So the earlier images that we showed you from the road with the fence in the foreground, this is taken on the other side of that fence. And again, that's a more closer up image from Rowley Hall towards Rowley Hall Drive. So essentially what we've got is we've got two aspects of the site. We've got site B, where the proposed care home will be located, and that's in outline form with a detailed application for a residential scheme for 30 dwellings on site A, with a new area of public open space to be provided in the northern part of the site. And this provides the layout. So the care home is located here. That's an indicative position, an indicative layout, because that's only an outline form for the residential scheme here. And then the new access is coming off Swinbourne Close with additional parking spaces for existing houses in Swinbourne Close, because currently it's mainly on street parking within that cul-de-sac. And this is, as I've mentioned, because the site varies in levels, there's a whole series of retaining walls and fences that need to be erected within the site. So essentially we've got some images. The first top two images, this image is taken from within the site. So where my cursor is here, that's the boundary. So from the care home, you will look out toward, that's the care home, the rough outline of the care home there. You'll look out onto that. When you're viewing from outside the site, so from this area in blue here, you'll see, that's what you'll see, so the fence line, it's a standard 1.8 fence. Then these two images here, these are taken from the southern part of the site, so as I previously referred to, that tall bund, so essentially because that ground is there, they've had to put a retaining wall in, so that's what you'll see from within the site. But outside of the site, again, you'll just get a 1.8 metre high fence showing. And then moving to the other areas of the site, we've got from Rowley Hall Drive, so in this area here, when you look at the site, I'll go back to one of the images and we can compare them. So there's a retaining wall here with the new, this is an existing house in Rowley Hall Drive. But if we go back to this photo I showed you earlier, so here, so the image we've just seen, the sectional image, shows a retaining wall sort of behind this fence line extending back into the site behind this tall double garage. So within that area, if you can just look at that image, and then if we go back to the section drawing I'll show you now, you can see the, so essentially that is the image. So the garage is sitting in here, so you'll see from Rowley Hall the drive, you'll see this bit of retaining wall and that bit of fence, but that area will be behind the garage, the adjoining house. And then this is the final retaining section of walling, which goes along this boundary here with high school. I've also got some further street scene images which will hopefully explain how it's going to relate to the surrounding area and also the relationship within the development. So the first three street scenes are street scenes within the development site itself, and then the bottom sections show the relationship with this existing dwellings in Rowley Hall Drive. So this is a section through the site out towards Rowley Hall Drive. So this is an existing two-storey house in Rowley Hall Drive. So the nearest property will be a single-storey bungalow, which is raised, but it is still slightly below the ridge line of this property, and it will be set back some distance. And if you, this is what people in these properties here will see this. This will be the visualisation from their properties. They will see with the bungalows and landscaping in front of it. So that image is taken, that would be in this area here. So if I put my cursor, that is looking through with that house here. So that's the section going through. And then if we go back again, we've got another section showing existing properties on Rowley Hall Drive and the proposed bungalows. And again, you can see the relationship between the two. So it's low, again, it's a similar height to the existing properties. And then this is the final section through the site. Again, that's an existing property in Rowley Hall Drive. So again, you can see the difference. That is actually lower, the proposed development, than that part of the site. And then again, we've got here cross-section, that's another existing property on Rowley Hall Drive, which again is higher than one of the bungalows within the development. Turning to the proposed drainage layout, it's proposed to have a new main drain through the development site itself, which will then link in to the existing Severn Trent sewer in Swinbourne Close. In addition to that, it's proposed to have some underground tanks for overflow water. Some will be positioned here next to the residential developments, and then there'll be a larger tank here within the car park of the proposed care home. The land drain, which has been referred to, is in this area here, and the local flood authority are satisfied that the condition that we've suggested in the report can ensure that that land drain can connect into the proposed drainage strategy for the development. And then it's got some images of the different house types, so it's a mix of bungalows and two-storey houses with similar sort of modern design. So yes, the recommendation before members is approval subject to section 106 and the conditions set out in the report.
Thank you, Tom. Right, there we come back to where we were. Person to speak in objection is Max Parry. Max? Make yourself at home. When you're ready, we'll start the clock.
Thank you. Good evening, my name is Max Parry, concerned neighbouring resident and advocate for both the environment and social care within the county. My script has completely gone out the window because I found the presentation quite misleading, and what we're going to say at the end and say now, most important thing, go and see the site, visit the site, as Doug is also saying. The application should not be approved pending clarification of the following concerns and legal points. MPF 2026 states water runoff, day one design, before planning approval, including long-term maintenance. should prove, as per the flood authority report, that it's not going to increase the drainage onto the trench drains on Rally Hall Drive. There is currently a flooding problem, and has been for many years, from Rally Park into the properties to the south of Rally Park. Point two, piling for foundations. I've not seen any soil mechanics report or plans for the foundations or a method statement, so it's hard to have enough detail, but piling for foundations could cause cracks, including grade two Rally Hall Hospital. And NPF 213 states the need must be wholly exceptional, which has not been justified. Three, Party Wall Act, foundations property B3 is within 6 metres of 18 Rally Hall Drive, which will result in a surveyor assessment and vibration monitoring, presumably depending on the impact methods. Point four, access point off Swinburne, NPFF 115, intensification of an existing deficient access on grounds of geometric deficiencies and visibility. The road is 150 metres, too narrow for central line markings and without end-to-end visibility. No space for emergency vehicles, delivery lorries, site machines, machinery to pass even a car. Vehicles should exit in a forward gear into pedestrian areas where there's shops and schools. And note, both the Borough and County Council have designated Westway as a no HDB sign, route. Five, parking has been set below Stafford Borough 2011-2031 baseline. I'll leave that for questions. For six, formal loss of amenity objection based on specific recreational value, NPF paragraph 99. Social space, dog walking is the top reason as per the Rally Park Consultation report after social. The field has a long-standing clear use and it is not being replaced or improved.
You have 1 minute.
Seven, overbearing nature. The diagram don't do it justice, and the illustration of the retaining wall is completely out of scope of what's actually going in. The screening is welcome, but should be extended to include the embankment as a strip period if there are trees. Different lands have different things showing. B8 to B11 borders set along the ridge for safety and privacy, possibly giving responsibility of that strip to residents of Rallymore Drive. Visibility of the financial viability assessment, as specified in NPVF paragraph 59, this should be up to date and could move on to term sustainability. Number nine, number of administrative errors, you've mentioned some. There's no Q2 SAP contribution, landscaping ambiguity, and the arboricultural report is out of date.
It's time, Chair.
5.4 metres is the height of the wall at the back of the property you refer to, in view of their property.
You could just sort of wind it up now, you've had your
3 minutes. I've brushed it all, but that's about it, I think.
Well, well done. A lot of information in there. Thank you very much. Thank you. If you could go back now. And I will invite Steve Basie, who is supporting the application. Steve. So your place, 3 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, when you're ready.
Right, good evening. I'm Steve Fazy, Principal Architect of SB Fazy, who has presented this application. It's a hybrid application, as said in the report, seeking detailed approval of a total of 30 dwellings on site A and outline for 60 bed care facility on site B. The site is owned by the Staffordshire County Council, and we take an access from Swinburne Close through properties owned by Outlands Plus. There's a building block of four flats in their ownership would be demolished. The works to Swinburne Close have been put in discussions with County Highways and include some re-alignment of the road and provision of 33 car parking spaces to provide safe access and improve parking for existing residents. The application was submitted some 4 years ago, and in the intervening period we have worked with successive planning officers in providing additional information and development of the design in response to issues raised. With respect to site A, the latest of these changes was to replace six of the proposed houses with four bungalows, thus reduce the number of units from 32 on the original application down to 30, as shown on the plans now under consideration. The consequence of this is that all the plots nearest to the eastern boundary are now bungalows, thus reducing the height of the buildings in this location and thereby minimising the potential overlooking and overbearing. The drainage has been considered in detail by our drainage consultants in conjunction with prolonged exchanges with the LLFA to determine a workable design solution that satisfies their requirements, which has been confirmed in the report. The proposed levels have been kept as low as practical but have been set by this drainage design. This has necessitated the need to include retaining walls, but many of these will be screened by existing and new planting. In terms of ecology, a comprehensive suite of ecology surveys have been undertaken, including Badger, Bath and Newt surveys, plus agricultural and grassland survey. There is one tree proposed to be felled for the right access, but three others which have been assessed have been of poor quality would also be felled. But the loss of this is mitigated by the planting of 23 new trees across the development. Although the application predates the requirement for achieving a 10% biodiversity net gain, assessments have been undertaken to show that development still does show a positive BNG.
1 minute.
Access for construction will be off Swinburne Close, thus minimising disturbance to residents of Rowley Park to the east, and works on site will be controlled by way of planning conditions, which will include permitted working hours, provision to limit dust and noise during construction. With respect to the proposal for Site B, this is down to the County Council to decide what they want to do on there, but they would have to work with the parameters set out in the proposed conditions and submit the Reserve Matters application. Richly, the proposed is suitable use of the site in an established residential area and will provide social housing with the goods designed to meet local housing needs. In conclusion, I respectfully request that the committee approves this application based on the people's recommendations.
Thank you very much, well timed. If you could go back to your seat, please. Okay. Thank you. And the ward member has a written statement to be read out. Tom.
Okay, thank you, Chair. So this is, firstly, I want to apologise for not being able to attend this planning meeting in person. I was only made aware that this application would be coming to the next meeting on the 20th of July, and I already had arranged a trip away for this date several months ago, and this could not be changed. I want to thank the officers for reading out this statement on my behalf. There are three key concerns which I would like to raise in relation to this planning application on behalf of residents. They are the potential for flooding, the imposing nature of the development, and the loss of green infrastructure and social space. The development is being proposed alongside the existing development of Rowley Hall Drive, and the base elevation of the new development is being substantially lifted above the level of the existing development on this site. Unlike the Rowley Hall Drive development, which takes on the form of the rising ground, this brings everything up and flattens it out. This has a significant impact on the existing development in terms of the proposed new properties being set up above the existing ones, and in some cases this is quite stridently imposing. Whilst I appreciate that the applicant has taken the concerns in his specific area on board and proposed an alternative approach which is intended to soften the impact on existing residents, it is still the case that the properties will be built on the top of a retaining wall, which will be 5 metres high in some places. This will create a feeling that these properties are towering over the existing development, have a negative impact on the street scene, and lead to overlooking and loss of privacy in some cases. The supplementary planning guidance on design states that the scale and massing and quantities of proposed buildings should enhance and reinforce locally prevalent patterns of development and be complementary to their setting. If not, there must be compelling justification for why they do not follow these patterns. No such compelling reasons are provided. In regard to the way in which the buildings tower over their neighbours, this development is in a contradiction of the local plan policy N1E and N8 as a whole, as restated in paragraphs 6.1 and 6.2 of the report, as well as failing to adhere to the planning guidance on design. My second area of concern is for the overland flows of water on the site from the rear of buildings B8 and B11. These overland flows, like most of the water flows on the site, are directed off the site towards Rowley Hall Drive. Rowley Hall Drive is not on the main drains, and the water which drains there uses a system of French James instead. The inevitable additional water flows onto Rowley Hall Drive from this section will increase the volume of water beyond what they are designed to cope with. This is taking an issue for the new development site and make it a problem for their neighbours. The flood risk assessment does not appear to be in depth enough to include the proposed in the landscape changes and has not considered that there are pre-existing issues with flooding in the area, in particular in Highfield Grove and Park Fields, which have issues with the runoff from Rowley Park Sports Stadium. As such, the application does not fully meet policy N2 of the local plan and paragraph 182 of the National Planning Policy Framework. Finally, the plan for Stafford Borough has a key objective for Stafford in paragraph 5.2 to enhance existing green infrastructure. This development removes a popular green space unique in the surrounding area. This is particularly relied upon for regular dog walkers, many of whom raised objections. The council mitigation for this in paragraph 6.4 is contested. The area already has a good access and parking from Rowley Park and is mostly disappearing due to the development. This loss is in contravention of National England's Green Infrastructure Framework. This is a complex application with wide impact, and I recommend that the committee make a site visit to better visualise and understand the impacts and explore further conditions around flood mitigations to protect neighbours from runoff.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you very much. Okay, you've heard from officers, you've heard from supporter, objector, and ward member. Who wants to start us off? Ian Fordham.
Thanks, Chair. Can I just ask a couple of preliminary questions just to make sure I've got this clear in my head? The first is, we heard reference to application for an asset of community value. Does that, the fact that's been applied for, in any way constrain our decision making tonight?
Lucy?
In anticipation, the Head of Law and Governance has provided some background information. It's been confirmed that we have been made aware that the land subject to this application is the subject of a current nomination for a listing as an asset of community value, also known as ACV. The guidance that is provided at paragraph 2.20 on the ACV states that it's open to the local planning authority to decide that listing as an ACV is a material consideration if an application for change of use is submitted, considering all the circumstances of the case. Listing as an ACV may therefore be taken into account by the planning authority, but it does not have to be. It should be noted that listing as an ACV does not in itself restrict what a owner of the land can do with their property, and this is a matter for planning law. The proposal of an ACV listing is to give the community the opportunity to purchase the property and not to prevent otherwise acceptable development. The planning authority must determine each application on its own merit in accordance with the development plan unless material considerations indicate otherwise. If the authority decides that a matter is a material consideration, then it must still exercise a reasonable judgment as to the weight to be placed on that consideration in each case. In this case, although the land has been nominated for a listing, it is yet to be listed. The nomination has been submitted based upon the land's use as an open space area. The officer report refers to the current use, and that was at paragraph 6.4, and considers that the officer's consideration is that the proposed scheme would not impact the overall function of the area.
My second question would be, is we can assume a need in the borough for more care beds, but is there any need to demonstrate that there is a need for care beds? Because I've seen that in the past several years ago, because I can't see any need demonstrated. I can't see a reference to the need being demonstrated.
Yeah. Try and answer that point now, if you may, first of all.
So essentially what we're looking at with this scheme is, because it's within the development boundary of Stafford, principle of any form of residential development in this location is acceptable, essentially, if it meets, if it's acceptable in terms of the other matters. So yeah, the general principle of any residential scheme of any type would be supported in principle. What we've got here is there's a general unmet need for all forms of affordable housing in terms of whether that's care homes or general needs housing, and this scheme would sort of deliver on both fronts. So that's all that we require them to do in this application would be to, you know, that would be the short answer. Okay,
thank you. Councillor Scott Spencer.
I'd like to first of all point to clarification if possible from, I think the architect that's here would be the best person to speak to, regarding the design and construction of the large retaining wall at the northern end of the site. It's five 5 metres high at point. I just wondered if it could be clarified what construction methods or what the design of that will be, and any drainage associated with that, how would that be dealt with, and where will it be put?
If any other questions towards the architect, can we bundle them all together and invite Steve up afterwards?
Okay. That was my question.
Roy James?
Clarification on two points, if I may. Are you saying that there's no S 106?
Yeah, will be a Section 106 legal agreement, but that will be purely for securing mitigation measures towards the Cannock Chase SAC, and then also there'll be that legal agreement will ensure that the scheme is 100% affordable in perpetuity. However, what's happened, one of the reasons it's taken 4 years for this application to get to Planning Committee is the fact that they've done a viability assessment. So essentially what they've said in that viability assessment is the scheme cannot stand the costs of the policy required contributions. So what's happened is that then we've appointed an independent valuer to assess that report, and that independent valuer has said, yes, we agree with what the applicant is saying, that it's not deliverable with the proposed contributions.
So all this education, contribution, health, leisure, and SAC out the window. Is that right?
Yeah.
The only reason why a financial contribution towards the Cannock Chase SAC is required is because that's a requirement of separate legislation.
Okay. My other point was somewhere, and I'm sorry because I haven't got my marked up copy because I've left it at home. Richard, you mentioned that I think, is it three bedroom houses? We've got an oversupply in the county, in the borough, and yet they're proposing to put three bedroom houses, and what we actually need more of is bungalows.
We would take guidance on that from our housing section in terms of the ratio split. So they have the evidence base to say what the demand is. In this case, they haven't raised objection to say split is inappropriate.
That they're happy with the split was proposed.
Thank you. Councillor Louise Nixon.
Thank you, Chair. Under 2.5, the three bullet points, could somebody explain that a little bit more to me?
Sorry, Louise.
2.5, page 6, the three bullet points. Education contribution, health contribution, and leisure contribution.
Oh, yeah.
Could you explain that a bit more?
Yeah, sure. So basically, if this scheme, under normal circumstances, would attract all of those contributions that are bulleted in paragraph 2.5. So, essentially, that required those would need to be provided. However, what they have done is they've done a viability assessment, which demonstrates that the scheme can't deliver those contributions because it wouldn't be financially viable. And then, like I said earlier, we've then independently assessed it. We've appointed a valuer to evaluate that report, and he's agreed that what the applicant is saying is correct, so the scheme can't support the contributions.
Sorry, I still don't understand. Apologies. You're saying that the housing needs to be put on that land?
we're saying that the principle of development for housing is acceptable in this location in the within Stafford.
And you understand those three elements are needed?
So I don't get
it. I think what, if I may say, what the answer might be is that because these are 100% affordable properties, then obviously affordability relates to price. And that price has to be factor in contributions to education, health or leisure. Now, if we want to make housing affordable, it may be, but sometimes those contributions are not made so that those houses, if you lump all that lot together, you've got £100,000, £250,000, whatever it might be there, divide that by the number of properties, that goes on to the value of the house and what someone pays for it. Or
because as two examples, one under education, at the moment we've got between 7,000 and 10,000 children at the moment that don't have school places. Under health, I was contacted by a consultant at A&E a couple of days ago, and heavily it's junior doctors that are giving paperwork to senior doctors who haven't got time to look at over the paperwork and their system is overwhelmed. So clearly all of these things are needed.
Yeah, that is the case, but I think we would accept that. The issue is that the scheme can't stand that cost. So if it was a market scheme, it could provide all of those contributions, because obviously the values of a market scheme is significantly greater than 100%
affordable. So what do we do to enable this to work?
Sorry?
What do we do to enable this to work?
I don't get
those three elements are needed, aren't they?
Yes, so what we've said is that we've accepted that. So what the applicant's done is they've done a financial viability assessment where they've valued the land, value the development, and whether that development can deliver the required contributions, and that report says they can't financially, the scheme wouldn't be deliverable. So yes, those contributions are required, but because of that financial viability, the scheme isn't viable.
Scott Spencer?
Are we able to go to the architect at all?
Sorry again.
Are we able to go to the architect at all?
Any other issues before that we get Steve out here?
Yeah. So all these houses are for sale, are they? They're not being owned by Homes Plus.
Homes Plus are the developed. Yes, they will be affordable housing. They won't be market housing. It'll be affordable housing. So that will be a mix of social rents, shared ownership.
So it'll be a registered social provider.
Yeah.
Infrastructure's not there.
Yeah, that's not a requirement. Basically, there's a policy requirement to deliver that infrastructure, but because this is pretty common in planning applications, that when a viability, this happens quite regularly, that the viability assessment will demonstrate that they can't deliver those requirements. So therefore, based on that viability assessment, which we've had independently assessed, the scheme doesn't stack up if you have those contributions attached to the scheme.
So does that mean you're not going ahead?
No, that means that there's a requirement to provide them, but because the viability assessment has been carried out, that says it's not viable to pay those contributions.
Okay, Scott, I'm going to invite Steve up to the table now. Can you come back to it, please?
Yeah, okay.
And the question was in relation to the design of the retaining walls, I think. Was it?
Scott? Yes, the first part was.
Yeah.
There, John. I appreciate you probably can't see that well, but on that plan you pulled there, there is a photograph on there, which has been pointed out, which is a retaining wall with fencing above in that situation. It's a proprietary large format wall system which interlocks together, which is a much more efficient way of doing it than building brickwork, and it's also more substantial and longer lasting than using something like crib block or timber block wall, and that's what we're proposing on here. It has to be designed by the manufacturer because it's a specific system. There's two or three people that do it, but they'll only do designs once they've got an order.
And on it. Through your chair. And the back drainage of that, where is that being directed?
That's all been taken into account in the drainage layer.
And that's going where?
go into the system on site, so a lot of it will be contained within the underground system.
So, you, Chair, it can't go into the outfall on site with its current levels because that drainage will be to the base of that wall because there'll be a granular back into that. So there'll be a low level drainage system associated with that, which can only outfall to Rowley Drive, I would have thought. So I'm just a bit concerned as to where that's going and maybe its potential impact.
Yeah. I can only refer back to the drainage engineers and who have said, yes, we've taken that into account in our drainage design.
So, if I get this right, there's no water runoff from the site towards
Rowley? There shouldn't be, no. That is designed so that there is no water runoff.
Yes, essentially, as we understand, we had a meeting with the local flood authority this morning, and essentially he was saying that, yes, there will be some runoff towards Rowley Hall Drive. However, what will be happening as part of the condition on this consent is that will essentially require a connection to the proposed drainage network within the development. So if you see the gradient here runs down towards Rowley Hall Drive.
Yes.
So what the local flood authority is saying is they're going to put a connect from the existing land drain into the main drainage system for the site.
Excuse me, sorry.
Can I just see?
You can have a look, yes, you can't speak.
I'm not speaking.
Okay.
Yeah, so the local flood authority said that they will, what we can do through the condition is to link the land drain into the proposed drainage strategy. So you've got your new shared sewer for both water, surface and foul. So the surface from this will connect, we can connect into the proposed system.
Unfortunately, sorry for you, Jeff, the levels on site would not allow that. You're building up the site 5 metres height with that current drainage at the base of that slope. The site was 5 metres higher than that. Unless it's a pump solution, which they haven't proposed, there's no way that drainage system could go into what's proposed.
Okay. No, I'm sorry, you can't. No.
Am I allowed to talk?
Unless I invite you to come forward, and I haven't done that yet. Right. Thank you. Okay, any more questions in terms of design?
I think that that's fundamental on that, the drainage system associated with that retaining wall, because any retaining wall system will have a granular system behind it, which will be drained to the lowest point. It can't drain uphill. It can't drain up 5 metres unless it's a pump system, which isn't proposed. There is a potential impact on that, also, right, maybe. I have a second question on the, sorry.
Yeah, we were just going to say the condition number 3 and condition on page 39 essentially requires a details. Essentially requires a detailed drainage strategy to be submitted for approval for both elements, for both the care home and for the residential scheme. Okay. So it provides a mechanism to deliver that.
Okay.
As part of the conditions of the consent. So that's what the local flood authority have said to us this morning, that they would be happy to control that through the condition, so there is a deliverable scheme.
Okay, fair enough. I'll come back, I remain on the drainage if I can, Chair.
Yeah.
I appreciate the levels have been raised to achieve outfall to the south now. And we've got these, the two drainage tanks, one which is going to be in the care home car park, the other one which is shown the car park in front gardens of 6 of the properties.
These are the 6 properties.
Yes, exactly. I know we've had an update from the local flood authority regards to maintenance and so forth. I just wondered, I don't see in the conditions that it says that these houses will be in sort of the local authority's ownership in perpetuity, and concerned that if that isn't conditioned and if these were sold, how the maintenance of those tanks, that tank, would be mitigated.
That could be secured through the legal agreement that they're 100% affordable in perpetuity as affordable rent, essentially.
And should it be conditioned, if we were to approve the application, should it be conditioned that similarly that they cannot be sold?
No,
the legal agreement would take precedence.
The legal agreement would take precedence, as Tom said.
Okay.
It'd be woven into the agreement with specific plots identified.
Okay.
You following what we're talking about there, these underground tanks?
I love underground tanks. those two tanks, can we just see, are the houses on top of those or not? Or they to the side of them?
This drive will be on the driveways, under the driveways.
Under the driveways.
Under them, yes.
So to ensure that all of those properties are under the same ownership in terms of the long-term maintenance, the legal agreement will ensure...
You know where I was coming from, didn't you?
That they could only be...
Social rent. Yeah.
Okay. So it would be the registered provider who would have ownership.
Okay. Happy with
that. Scott Spencer?
Sorry, I'm coming again. It's perhaps retainable, which is another question I'd just like to ask. It's shown that this fire, I'm talking about this 5 metre one at the northern end. It's pretty much a butt-in property there, a garage and detached property. How is maintenance going to be provided for that wall? It needs to be.
In terms of the wall, which is going. So this wall here? So it's sitting in here? Sitting in there behind the fence.
So the fence is remained?
Yeah, the fence is retained with the retaining wall sat behind that on the application side.
Directly behind it?
It's behind it. I'll have to double check through. Can we zoom in on this, Rich? There we go. Yeah, so that wall, it'll be the other side of the red line, so we'll be able to maintain it, so it will sit. So it'll sit in here.
Yeah, it's quite it's quite imposing, isn't it? And if it's back to the south, it's going to overshadow significantly.
If we go back to the photograph as well, so you can see here, it's. Sitting next to the garage, so the garage is what, 5.5 metres high?
Right, okay.
So the garage is going to be higher than it, and it's obviously going to be lower, closer to the road.
So you're going to have houses on top?
Well, they're going to be sat further back on the plot.
Right.
So if we go back to the... So that's what we're going to see. So that garage is in this area here.
Okay.
So the properties are set back some distance from now the old drive.
Sorry, Tom, can you demonstrate that again? I miss it.
Oh, sorry, I didn't. Yeah, so the properties, so the garage is sat in sort of this area here on the photograph we just saw. So the house itself is set well back from, so Rowley, the fence line is that position there. So you're talking, the house is set at least 10 metres back from Rowley Hall.
Are there windows proposed on that elevation?
Yes, there will be, but the separation distance between the proposed bungalow, but I think the street scene is probably best. So this is what you will see in that position there where the photograph is taken. That's the section through the site, that's the proposed bungalow, and the garage is the other side of that, and that's the house directly opposite it. So the separation distance between the two properties meets the required standards
in terms of the...
Is it sort of still good space for dwelling drift?
No, design. It's a much planning document.
Certainly, yeah, the design's a much planning document, so...
If I may just put the embankment that's shown there, yeah. Would that be, is that Rowley or Drive's embankment, or is that the site's embankment?
It's within the site.
And would that be under the bungalow's control, or that would be county council control?
It's landscape. The area is going to be landscaped, so if we, so this is going to be outside the bungalow's land because there's a fence at the rear of their boundary,
right, okay.
And there's going to be new landscape planting which will be subject to the landscaping condition between it, okay. And the fence.
So screening is being proposed.
Yeah, that's essentially what's the purpose of it. Yeah.
Okay. Can we just put a plan forward again,
mm-hmm.
And just explain that image there, which shows the retaining wall.
I think that image there is just a example. So it's not like the it's not a particular one. It's just an example. Yeah,
it's
like,
something we've done on a previous scheme elsewhere, yeah. Where we had differences in.
So we're imagining that the houses we see to the right there on Rowley Hall. Yeah. And to the left is the post.
Just because of general visualisation.
Yeah. But it won't be brickwork. Roy James.
Can you go back to the overall plan?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I've just gone past it. There we go. Yeah.
Not that one. No, keep going.
The bigger one.
That's it, stop. Right. Yeah. The land to the north there, is that going to be designated as green space?
Yes. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yes. Yeah. That's going to be new company.
So there's no way that they're going to build on that block.
No, that's been designated as open space as part of the development, and it will also have access through Highfield. So currently, through Highfield, you can't access.
Okay. Yeah.
Whereas there'll be an
option. Is that local green space? Is it designated local green space?
No, it's private owned land by the county council. Own the land. And it's not designated as public open space.
Right, it's the level of protection I suspect Councillor James is after.
Mm-hmm. Is that the low level of the site that the call-in suggests as a swamp?
Or this bit. I think that's where this. Having spoken to the flood authority as well this morning, they said that yes, this is where there is some pooling of water in this part of the site. Currently.
Mm-hmm. So it's already marshland, that area is already marshland.
Yes, I'm invited to speak.
Yeah.
For the point of clarification, I'll allow you to speak, but only for 1 minute. Okay?
To me?
Yes.
Well, I'm just hoping that somebody, like they've asked, Steve, asks me to respond, because I can add detail to many of these questions and offer an opposing view of how this has been represented. And I'm finding this really quite one-sided, very disappointing. So it's marshland, it's not going to be open space, it's not really going to be a social space where people will go, and yes, they won't ever build on it because it gets flooded. We don't know, we haven't seen the soil, they've done the soil test, I haven't seen the test results, they're going to build the clay, which is quite, there's no solid foundation in that first 2 metres. That'll have to be built up, probably piled, and in itself expensive. I'm not surprised it hasn't met the minimum value base valuation in terms of giving money to education and everything else, because everything they're planning is so expensive. I'm not against it, I'm just against, well, possibly where, but how. Yeah,
okay, thank you.
I've got a lot of things to say and a lot of detail.
Thank you for that. Scott?
I was going to ask about the whole green space section. How is that going to be accessed?
Through Swinburne Close.
Where?
So if you see through here, so that's the position of the existing block of flats that's been demolished.
Yeah.
So you come through Swinburne Close and then access the space through here and along through into this side. So currently the only point of access into the whole site is here. So from any part of Highfields you can't get into the site, it's only from Rowley Park.
So that Rowley Park access will be closed off?
I presume it will be, yeah. And obviously, as we saw on the photograph, it's a gap in the hedgerow, it's not like the formal access as such, you know, it's a... Yeah. There. So that's what we're talking about in terms of that's a photograph taken last week, and it's at the end of the car park. There's no formal footpath from the Oberspill car park. It's now we've got Rally Park, and it's just a gap in there, truly.
Anyone else wish to speak? I'm sorry.
I had another point just about Swinburne Close itself. I know they're going to be adding a lot of car park spaces in there to allow, presumably safety wise for Highways Authority, they wanted that. I see there's going to be a loss of, I'm going to go on the trees and the green space effectively on Swinburne Close. It's all going to be car park. If we were pushed to sort of approve this, could there be some additional planting or something to sort of replace what's been lost in that area? Because I think there seems to be some betterment for where the houses are, but for the residents of Swinburne Close, they seem to be losing almost all of their green space. And there doesn't seem to be anything in the landscape. I've been through the landscape plan. There's nothing that indicates any betterment of Swinburne Close.
All apart from the fact that they can access the open space at the northern end.
Well, other than that, the actual visual amenity of Swinburne Close itself, I would say, is being significantly impacted. That view doesn't.
There isn't any trees.
Not there within. If you came back about 10 metres from where that photograph was taken.
Yeah, so this is retained here.
There we go.
No, that's Lovelace Close, isn't it? That's Lovelace Close.
I've got them up here. There's significant mature trees that have been, I'm going to use the word sacrificed, for car park spaces. And therefore, the immediate value, I would say, that arguably Swinburne Close is been reduced. I just wondered, were we to pass this, could an additional condition be placed that planting should be introduced where possible again?
Yeah. Under condition 16 in the report on page 42, we've got details of the location, species.
It does, but that relates to the main development site. It doesn't. There is no landscape plan for Swinburne Close.
But it's within the red line of the planning application site, so we should be able to secure it.
So we could, but should we be minded to pass this to further condition additional? Because there we go, this plant here. So it shows the trees there, but no additional planting in Swinburne Close to replace what's been lost.
We're only losing one significant tree.
You're losing one oak, yes, but sorry to labour this point, but I was thinking the visual meaning value of people living on Swinburne Close. Yes, the oak has been lost, but I'm just thinking of if we're betterment for the new people that are living in, why not can we not do it?
So you could have an additional condition to say that a scheme for additional or replacement tree planting for that which would be lost to provide the access.
Yes. That's what I'm getting at. We could
do that as an additional condition.
Could there be like a green verge with trees in between parking bays? Is that a possibility?
If you look at the back of the plan, up there, you'll see there's bays that don't have any car park provision. There's gaps.
Yeah, that there, yeah.
In various places.
See, even in here.
Yeah, exactly.
Could be particularly in this. It's quite constrained though, isn't it? But you get some land.
Through their design, is it constrained?
When we look at new estate planning, we do actually factor in verge tree planting.
So I'm sure we should factor
which the design advisor is very keen on.
Yeah.
As we know from dealing with the larger schemes than this.
So we can factor in verge and tree planting in between parking bays.
I think this will be too constrained to do that.
You could be having some landscape if they're not tree planting, because obviously you're constrained, aren't you, with the root protection areas of trees, etc.
The
layout for there was determined in conjunction with Highways. You didn't want any more than four parking spaces together, so they wanted it split up. That does give us the ability to put planting between the parking spaces, and it would be able to include trees within that planting. in some, not necessarily in everyone, but in some. So I think a condition as suggested, the sign that you've got to submit a scheme for planting there, would be acceptable.
I'm just mindful about tree planting in the adopted highway, in that the highway authority would then be liable for the maintenance of those trees.
It won't be the adopted highway, it will be within the car park provision, yeah, which is not the adopted highway.
There are areas there, yes, where we could incorporate some tree planting without it being in the highway. Okay.
Right, Louise, you've been waiting patiently.
I'm thinking keywords, community safety partnership, mental health and affordable housing. Those are the three key things that I'm thinking about at the moment. And I am aware of residents that have moved from Highfields into Coton, so I know what's been going on in Highfields because of what these people have been telling me. And I'm aware that this is you're talking about affordable housing, and I know of quite detailed things that have been going on with specific people, and which involves community safety partnership. And I'm thinking, has any thought been done about what's going to be put in place in terms of mental health support within that area if these new affordable houses are built? Because it's not a, how can I put it tactfully?
It's not material company.
There has been problems within that area. It might possibly be the most tactful way I could put it.
Yeah, because although it's a major application, it's quite a small major scheme, so it would be too small an application for the Integrated Care Board to actually comment on it. So if it had been a much larger scheme, then there would have potentially been some provision, wouldn't there? And have they actually commented on that?
Has anybody run this past Victoria Cooper? Has she had some input into this?
Page 34, top of page 34. I can just read out the comments that they made on 14.
There has been incidents with police and groups, yeah, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Is what I'm thinking.
But in terms of the comments from the Integrated Care Board, on 14th of May this year, it says development would have access to a number of provider sites across three primary care networks serving Stafford. Infrastructure investment will be required across the network over the medium to long term. However, scheme or funded works are progressing within two relevant GP provider sites, and this augmented infrastructure capacity will be capable of serving the scale of development proposed here. So therefore, we're not directly requesting any mitigation towards healthcare. So they're of the opinion that there's sufficient capacity to cater for this scheme. They may have taken a different view if it was 300-400 houses, but there's capacity in the area to meet these 30 dwellings and the care home.
Has Victoria Cooper seen this?
Who's Victoria Cooper?
She's
the Staff Borough, or?
The Borough, yeah.
No. I don't see why she would get involved in this. It's a
because there's been incidences of drugs in that area.
Yeah, but that we can't take that into account.
That's not a material planning consideration.
Okay, right. We've been on this an hour now.
Just final one thing. Can I just, so the northern part, is that going to be protected as a local green space or not?
It's got
that. Is there something that we can put in to make sure that it's protected and it's not going to be developed?
Yeah, that's the 16.
Yeah, and yes, in terms of 16, condition 16 on page 42.
42. 16.
I think there is a review of open spaces every 3 years of the year.
Yeah.
We've just missed the one this year, I think.
18th of August is the chop-off date for that.
Sorry. Yeah.
It's the second bullet point of 16.
Second bullet point of 16. Yeah, sorry, I knew it was in here somewhere. Yeah, so second bullet point of condition 16 on page 42. New landscaping, including the maintenance management of the retained area of open space to the north of the new housing developments. Details that should be provided via that condition, so they'll be required to submit those details for approval by us.
It's not quite protected, is it?
Okay. Scott?
Can I just, again, point of clarification, please, to confirm potential overlooking issues on the eastern side site as it loops over onto Rowley Hall Drive? If we just go back to the previous.
The one we were on when I started talking.
So you've got the embankment there with the two bungalows, I think, overlooking with the, it's there, yeah.
Yeah, that one, yeah.
And you've got that area which would be part of landscape plan, I presume will be maintained as screening in perpetuity for Rowley Hall Drive. Is that correct?
Yeah, so essentially, there'll be, as part of the landscaping condition, if any of those trees die or a disease, they'll have to be replaced.
Okay.
New specimens as well, yeah.
And then come down from that, we've got a house that is almost directly opposite. No, come down again.
That one there.
Comes directly opposite the what looks like the gable end of a house on Rowley Hall Drive.
Yeah.
Are there any windows on that gable end of that house? Or what is the time difference between those two, the new and the existing?
Yeah. So that is cross section 3. So this is the relationship between the two story house in Rowley Hall Drive, and then that's the new bungalow. So it's gable to get this gable end to gable end essentially.
So the separate distance out, I see, is quite large.
Yeah.
Are there any windows often? Well, looking into the other basics,
what am I saying? No, there's no principal windows proposed.
So for clarity, it's going to be just a bathroom window on that property.
Yeah.
Okay.
The main windows will be in the front and rear elevations, right inside.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone want to speak who hasn't spoken? No. Right. Okay. So you've heard quite a lot of discussion there. I think we've drilled down into many of the issues. It's time to have a think. What do you propose?
Can I sit back down there?
Yes, please, if you would. Thank you. So, as I see, you've got three options: approve with these conditions that you've just been speaking about, refuse, for what reasons you'd have to come up with, or defer, because you might want to eventually have a site visit. That's up to you. Do you want to have a review of the conditions that, if we were to be minded to approve, you would want to include it?
If anyone was to propose to
an additional tree planting condition.
Yes. If they were to, I think that would be sensible. I still think, Chair, that we do need to sort of, on the drainage issues of that quite large retaining wall, I think there needs to be some further clarity on the condition of that, because I am concerned. Can we put something in there that it's to be incorporated into the system that will be created on this development and will not be channeled north or into the Rowley Hall Drive existing drainage? Can that be placed, put in there?
Mm.
We could add another bullet point to condition 3.
Yeah.
A compliance.
Yeah. Compliance to the drains.
Not.
Yeah.
Compliance conditions to secure what you're...
Yes. Because I think one of the main objections, I think, is the risk of flooding to Ravenhall Drive. And I just think that at the minute it's a little bit grey into certainly that northern end as to how